Good morning. Good to see y'all. Good to see most of you without a mask. I guess all of you without a mask. That's fine. That's good. I will wear a mask so that I don't frighten anyone. The more I cover up, the better. It is good to see you this morning and to worship together in light of the past couple of weeks with the unrest in our nation. The Lord has impressed upon my heart yesterday evening to go a different direction besides the qualifications that we've been talking about in our series. So we'll kind of be going a different direction this morning. But we do want to pray especially for those in Louisiana that will be facing a storm coming in, and hopes that that's not too destructive for those folks. So allow me to pray as we invite God to be in our midst this morning. Our Father, we acknowledge you today and thank you for the great privilege that it is to know you through Christ Jesus, by grace through faith in his work at the cross. Father God, to be in relationship with the Creator and the one who will finish all things, making a new heaven, new earth, and a new Jerusalem for which your people will dwell. We're humbled before you that you would even consider us, Lord God, to know you and to be in that kind of relationship with you. We ask, Father, this morning that you help us to direct our hearts and attention, our devotions to you, and Father God, that as we worship and sing from our hearts, that it will be sweet before your ears, and that, Lord God, we'll be attentive in our hearts to receive the word that you're bringing to us this morning. Father, we love you and thank you so much for every blessing. We ask that you be with families from our church family in the last couple of weeks who have lost loved ones and due to the situation did not have a lot of people to encourage them and to walk with them. I thank you, Father, for the presence that you provided and continue to provide for those who are healing from surgeries and being in hospitals. And Father, we give you thanks for those that have recovered and healed. We pray, Father, for our time this morning to honor you. We do lift up those in the path of a storm that's coming today into the Gulf, and we ask, Father, that you grant favor, a hedge of protection to help to limit the damages, and then, Father, to spare life would be our desire, and then to enable and empower those that will be helping in response to the storm. Father, we thank you for every privilege and honor that you give us to serve you and react to how you've moved in our lives in these days and to serve others that have need. We thank you now, Father, for our great privilege to be in your presence, and we pray your spirit to move in us and within us, Father God, to draw us near to you. We love you. Thank you for the fellowship of the saints and for our time together, and we pray that you're glorified now as we worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Brother Alec, thank you.
Of course. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It's Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. In church this morning, as we begin our time of worship together, we're going to take a slightly different approach than we normally do. And in light of the past 6 months of this year, our worlds have been turned upside down. First, it was being secluded from one another for months and having a fear for some of us of getting sick from something that know, there's not a whole lot of answers for, or at least there weren't at the time. And now, after the wrong that was done recently and the wrongs that continue to be done, and the tension in our nation, in our communities across the world, all of these things have begun to, I think, point out a lot of areas within ourselves that we hadn't seen. A lot of things that we might need to bring to the foot of the cross. A lot of things that were covered up by our comforts and being able to go about our day-to-day as normal. But the Lord has allowed these things for a reason, and I believe that part of that is to purge sin from his people, to purge it from the church. And brother and sister, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what is in your heart. I can't see that. But I know because of what Scripture says that each and every one of us has something that we have held on to. Whether that's pride, whether that is knee-jerk reactions to other people, whether that's a lack of compassion and kindness. I don't know what that is. But my prayer is that this morning, as we begin our worship together, that the Lord makes completely evident to you whatever it is that you need to bring before him. And that you can just lay that burden down. And so this morning, we're going to sing a song. And you are welcome to sing with us. We're just going to cry out to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy on us. But even more so, I just want you to spend this time to reflect and confess to the Lord and repent of whatever it is you need to repent of. So will you join us in this time?
Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, hearts that are cold, for seizing control, for scorning our very Maker. In thought, word, and deed, we failed you, our King.
Your mercies that are new every morning. And Lord, our prayer, as we lay down these things that we have held on to, these things that were not first evident to us, but Lord, you have been uncovering in us. It's by your grace that you've revealed to us things that we've held on to, broken shackles of sin that you freed us from, but we've been carrying around. And God, whatever that is in us, whether that is pride, whether that is maliciousness, whatever it might be, not giving ear to our neighbor, Lord, it is all poisonous to your church. Because you have said so, you even came to save us from it. So don't let us hold on to it. Lord, thank you that you have given us the opportunity, the ability to come before you in prayer and praise and know that you hear us. And know that you are quick to forgive your children. Lord, stir our affections this morning to you as we are reminded of the vast love that you have poured out on us. A world full of betrayal, you entered so that you might redeem the lost. God, remind us of who we were when you came to save us. Whenever anger and frustration flares up to those around us, Lord, remind us of who we are and who you have called us to be. Lord, we thank you this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, turns his face away. his wounds which mar the chosen one. Bring many sons to glory.
be our prayer this morning as we look into your word together. As Brother Robert brings the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, God, let our prayer be that your Spirit would fall afresh on us. You would melt us and mold us and make us into your image. That every burden of sin and shame and guilt and wickedness would be cast off as you continue the work of sanctification in us. And Lord, let not a single soul leave this place today without being stirred by your Spirit. Their affections would be increased for you. That what breaks your heart would break ours. And Lord, that you would bring healing to these communities, to our community, this nation, to this world, as your name is proclaimed and your light shone in this darkness. It is in your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Alec. And it's good to have Sheila back with us. And we praise the Lord for that. And all you singing, that's beautiful. Praising the Lord. That's a sweet sound to him. Our nation, it's obvious, needs an awakening. I have been impressed, but careful not to be too excited about the pictures of multitudes of people kneeling in prayer in these gatherings around our world and in our nation. But I am hopeful that through this time that the Lord is breaking through, that hearts are being broken up and fallow ground for the seed of truth to be planted, and to see unity, true unity, to break out in our land. But any awakening is going to happen beginning with the people of God, with the church, with the people who are his people. And so we do well to introspect and to examine ourselves. And as Brother Alec, the theme was introspection. It was looking to Lord. Sanctification is his work in and through his people, and that the Lord continues to do that, and that we are pliable to him as he does that work. The world really needs to see that happening in the church. They're not going to get it anywhere else. Jesus said that you are the lights of the world, and as you shine on a hill in darkness, that's where the world will see and then give glory to the Father in heaven. And so we must be a light that's shining, and the world needs to see that. And so it really begins with us. For us to be high and mighty and more righteous than others and pointing fingers at those that are rioting and those that are destroying, well, they don't know any better. They need to see something better, and they need to see the church. And so this morning, because this was a last evening deal, Miss Emma came down after learning we were going a different direction than what we had originally planned, and she asked, what's the title? And I said, I don't know. I think awakened would be okay. So awakened and awakening, and hope that's happening in us. Passage we're going to use this morning, and we're going to be very brief. This will not be long, and I'm not saying that just to make you feel better. In Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 to 10, and then we'll pray, and then we will examine briefly this passage of Scripture and reflect upon it. So in Luke 19, verse 1, the doctor writes, and he entered, Jesus entered and was passing through Jericho. Just in the previous few verses in the previous chapter, he had healed Bartimaeus of his blindness. And so he's entering into Jericho as he was approaching there is when he healed Bartimaeus. And now he entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was a, small in stature, and he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for Jesus was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, there's always they around. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He, Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood still, and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too, this man, is a son of Abraham, the father of faith. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for your Spirit that you sent to believers after you raised Christ up to yourself. We're thankful, Father, for the truth of this enduring word and for the Spirit to give us understanding and application to our lives. We're thankful, Father, for the forgiveness of sin that came through Christ's sacrifice and life eternal that came through his resurrection. We're thankful, Father, for the fellowship of the saints and for us being together today to consider this truth that we've heard. Now, Father, fill our hearts with yourself. Grant to us understanding. And then, Father, response that is appropriate and brings glory to your name. This will be our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing this morning. So Jesus is entered into Jericho and passing through Jericho. And the passage tells us that there's a man there. It is quite unusual that there would be two consecutive named individuals being ministered to by Jesus. Often you just a certain man or a leper or a paralytic. Here you find Bartimaeus, blind, receiving sight. Now Zacchaeus. And that shows you that Luke is attentive to details. As a doctor and a physician and a scholar. And now he's writing to us that there's this man who had the name Zacchaeus, chief tax gatherer, and was rich. Tax gatherers were hated and outcast by most of the Jews because they worked for the Roman government. They collected taxes for the government and were given the freedom to add interest, to add extra charges, and then pay the government what the government required, and then to keep the rest for themselves. As a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus probably would have had a very stable pyramid and was at the top and gained money off of all the others who worked under him as well. And so he was very rich, as the text tells us. But what's very interesting here is that Zacchaeus had gone to try and find a place. Surely, as a hated individual, would not have had an "excuse me" responded to well by the crowds. It's very likely that those that he took advantage of were in those crowds. In fact, it's probably a very good likelihood. And so his best chance was to run ahead, find a tree, and get in. And a sycamore tree is a sturdy tree, big branches that do reach out. And so he would have been able to scurry out on a branch over the road and be able to see things better than behind the crowds. And so he did so, and the scripture tells us that Jesus saw him and called him by name. Jesus knows your name. He knows the name of every human being, but he especially knows those that are his. He has known you from before the foundation of the world. And we're going to read Psalm 139 in a little bit, and that it in reminds us of the omniscience of God and his knowing us even before we were formed in the womb. But we find Jesus calling Zacchaeus by name and gives him an emphatic command: come down, or I must dwell with you today, or stay at your house. And that is emphatic in that it was a divinely ordained and appointed thing that Christ had to fulfill. that Zacchaeus would be on that passageway that day, and that Jesus would call him out and invite himself to Zacchaeus' home. Note this, Zacchaeus didn't invite him to his house. Jesus said, I have to go to your house today. I'm coming. Get the chicken ready. He invited himself and said, it has to be this way because I need to stay at your house. We're going to look at that in a moment. But this passage reveals that the crowds made an assumption. As Zacchaeus hurried and came down, in verse 6, he received Jesus gladly and was on the way to the home. We don't know how far it was from the time Zacchaeus came out of the tree to the time that they arrived at the house. But what we do and can tell pretty clearly is that somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus stopped, immediately stopped in his tracks, and he stood still and spoke to the Lord. It's very likely the crowds had an influence on that. Notice verse 7, when they saw it, and I noted they, there are always the critics. There are always those who are looking to point fingers, especially at sinners. And Zacchaeus indeed had taken advantage of the oppressed. He had taken advantage of the rich. He had charged exorbitant interest rates and became rich off of that. Those people would be inclined to talk badly about him. But we do find that Zacchaeus responds to the talk, but also to the presence of Christ. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. He's talking about Jesus. He's a holy guy. He's an upright guy. They were probably with him on the outskirts of town when he healed Bartimaeus. He must be a man of God. What's wrong with him going to the house of a sinner? Not just that, but inviting himself to the house of a sinner. I just thought of something. I'm awful glad that Jesus invited himself into the house of this sinner. That's grace. Zacchaeus stopped upon the invitation of Christ and upon the words of those that brought conviction. Perhaps the grace of Christ reaching out to him, much like the song Amazing Grace, was grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. It was grace that brought me this far and grace will bring me home. Grace impacted the life of Zacchaeus in those moments, and Zacchaeus stopped and responded right away and made a declaration, a commitment, a resolution. Behold, Lord, half my possessions I give to the poor. Very rich man, half of them, 50% to the poor. I'm going to make a giant donation. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, give back four times as much as what I defrauded from them. That's pretty confident in your riches, for one thing, and it's also a great commitment by an individual. He had acknowledged that he oppressed the downtrodden and the poor. He also admitted that he had defrauded some, and he was willing to make that right. I wrote a little note this morning as I was thinking about this. He did his best to make things right where he could in response to being made right inside of his heart. As Christ stirred him and brought him to conviction, he did respond in a way that was right, and that's really what sanctification is, to bring us to the place where our behavior matches our belief. But it was because he'd been with Jesus, and being with Jesus has that kind of effect, even if it's just for a brief time. Think about those disciples of Christ after Jesus was already ascended and the Holy Spirit had fallen upon the church. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had just gone into the temple area. They had seen God do a marvelous miracle through them, and then they were brought before the authorities. And they boldly spoke to the authorities, spoke about Christ and salvation and the need for repentance. And these men could not deny a miracle had been done. And they even concluded and recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's where their power came from. That's where their boldness came from, was
That presence with Christ, it has an effect upon those who spend time with Him. And we cannot discount how valuable it is for us to spend time with Jesus in prayer, and in reading, and in worship, and in singing, study of Him, fellowship, communing, and ministry. Learning of Him, learning from Him, and learning how to be like Him. It takes time and it takes effort, but the impact and the effect of being with Christ can be life-changing and should be. For those of us within Christ Church, the Lord Jesus has called you by name. And perhaps as He's calling you by name and you're walking through and there might be criticism from the world, from the crowd, maybe even from some within the body, you're brought to attention where you've fallen short. Some areas that need to be brushed up, improved, perhaps laid at the cross and left where they were to be from the beginning of your salvation experience. He called us by name from a life separated from Him to now be included into His family. He came to dwell within us. And the way that the New American Standard says this impacted me. Jesus said, "Today I must stay at your house." Is He comfortable in your house, in your temple? Is He comfortable there? Started thinking about the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, the things that he calls the church, the believers, to think on things that are true and noble and good and righteous, upright, praiseworthy, lovely, excellent. Is that what Jesus is experiencing in your house? Is He experiencing nobility, truth, righteousness, loveliness, praise, excellency, love? Is that what Jesus is experiencing inside your house? Or is there disruption? Is there bitterness? Is there prejudice? What in that house would be better cleaned out and allow Christ to cleanse you? All of that would require that we continually keep watch over and submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and to the truth of God's Word and to the Lord as He continues to sanctify us so that our actions, our attitudes, and our words are matching up to what He's calling us to be. He's calling the church to be different than the world. And that we should always be ready to confess. That means to agree with, confess our failure, to be perfect. We can't be perfect without Him making us perfect. To repent of that and then to walk differently when we do acknowledge areas of our life, even in the smallest of offenses. Listen, the smallest of offenses can be the most harmful and most miserable at times. Laura couldn't remember this. The other day we were speaking and the subject came up because we saw something on a comedy show we watched or something, and somebody had made a comment, and it's the old stick your foot in your mouth cliche where you say something and then you regret it and you wish you could take it back. That was me all the time as an unsaved kid. I was a smart aleck. I had quick wit response, and I'd say things and then later I'd be thinking about them and go, "Ugh!" Even before the Spirit of God got inside me, I'd regret saying things. But it really got exacerbated when I became a believer and the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I'd say something and, oh, the conviction and feeling awful about saying that and having to seek a person out and to contact them and to apologize and to say, "Oh, I just apologize." And most of the time they're like, "Didn't even bother me," but it bothered me. Even the little things can have a great impact, and we need to be observing those. Whether it's toward the poor, toward people of color, towards the oppressed, toward the well-to-do and the privileged, we must be careful that we examine our lives, because we have a God who knows all of those things, and we need to be willing to respond. Psalm 139, I mentioned a moment ago, I'm going to read this entire chapter. It's 24 verses in Psalm 139. the Word of God's better to be read than for me to try and speak to it. So I'm going to read these words. It's a Psalm of David. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me, and this knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, the ray of sunlight, and the morning sunrise sun, and I am able to move as fast as that ray of light moves across the land, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, your right hand will lay hold of me. I cannot escape you. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night and hide me, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb, and I will give thanks to you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them, and if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart me therefore from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They become my enemies. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. David was a man, struggled with life just like we did. And we can find some of his personal statements in this passage of Scripture to be very human. And yet he relied upon the powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God to carry him through life, gave him permission to examine his heart and to bring to his mind all things that need to be settled. I pray that we would give God permission, not that he needs it, but that we'd be attentive to him as he does so, that we'd be willing to be in agreement with him, say, Lord, that's an area of my life I need to submit completely to you and get my hands off of. A wise person, a person who's born again, yields to wisdom and insight and the scrutiny of the Holy Master in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we are brought to that place of honest reflection, opportunity to admit failure and to acknowledge God's holiness and righteousness and recommitting ourselves so that our behavior matches what we claim to believe. That authenticates conversion. When we constantly are looking to be like Christ, listen, that's what he's making us to be like. We want to be like Jesus, and he's making us into his image. And it will not be done in the power of the flesh. It will not be done because we have declared a self-improvement project down the road. It will only happen as we yield to the spiritual Lord God who moves through the power of his word and in the person of the Spirit within man. Relying upon his grace and all the provisions he makes for us. So this morning, I'd like for us to just take a few moments and to allow the Lord to open our eyes to the value and the needs of those around us, that we might have a heart of compassion for others as well as for the condition of our own souls as we represent the Lord in this world. It is a response time, but it is as much worship as singing praises to God and reading His Word. It is now time for us to commit ourselves to walk in obedience to that Word. So let's take time this morning. I will be here at the floor. The altar will be open if you need to bow down and worship. But let's respond to the Lord at this time. I'm going to pray, and then we'll stand. Father, as we come this morning, we thank You for the privilege to be in Your house, to be among Your people. And we continue to rely upon a mighty God who, within the midst of chaos in our world, continues to be in charge. We pray, Father, that the bended knees that we see across our nation would prove to be knees that are genuine before You. But Father, even at that, I pray that our knees bended before You are genuine. Help us, Father, to look to You for any self-improvement. Look to You for betterment of our spiritual condition, because You're the only one that can do anything about it. So Father, help us to be yielded to You, pliable like clay in the master potter's hand. And Father God, may You be exalted in this world through Your church. May the light shine. Lord God, may the world see You and our Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit in Your bride. Thank You for such a great privilege. Help us, Father, to be faithful to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Opportunity for folks to respond. Brother Alec will lead us.
Barrier down now to be.
Allow me to pray with you as we prepare to depart. Our Father in heaven, we look to you and thank you for being in our midst. Thank you that we can call to the mountains, and we know it's not the mountains that help us, but it's the God of the mountains, the God of the hills and valleys. And we pray, Father, that your promise to assist us and to be with us always is a sweet and securing kind of promise. I pray, Father, that we continue to be sensitive to you and that we walk in compliant obedience, loving you and knowing that all things are being worked out for our good as we love you and trust you. Father God, we want to see your kingdom expand in this world. Help us to be that bridge from where you are to where man is. And Father God, we give you the glory for every instance of conversion, every instance of enlightenment to your kingdom. And we pray it to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Continue to watch for emails to give us updates on how things are progressing. We have a target date in the last email of Sunday school resuming on Sunday, July 12th. I'd love to see that bumped up so that we can get together earlier. We are in the process of checking. If we don't have parents with kids who are willing to come, who are teachers, then we have to wait a little bit. So just be in prayer for one another that fear doesn't overcome and that sickness stays at bay, that the Lord continues to bless our community. God bless you. We're going to ask those in the rear to leave first, and then we will leave, I guess, in a process where we don't run each other over. God bless you.